You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As we usually do with the show, we kick off the show with how the markets have been moving. I'm joined on the line by Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at the market movements and see if we can make sense of them. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to catch up with you as always. Markets seemingly starting off the week in very brave territory, especially if you look at the performance of the South African Rand against the majors.
Yeah, absolutely. We're down to 17.76 currently, and we came into the day at around 18.05. So that's a massive movement stronger. You're looking at more than a 1.5%. Yeah, and it's not really just a dollar story if you're looking at the rand dollar pair. The dollar index is only negative by, call it, a quarter of 1%. So there's something more at play here than just dollar weakness, and I think it's got to do with China. So we've got a big week for China. We had a little bit of data out this morning, just in terms of their CPI numbers, a little bit softer than everyone was expecting. But the way that the market has interpreted this is that this means more stimulus. And already Chinese leaders have come out and pledged to be more proactive. And we'll see moderately looser monetary policy from China as well. And of course, this is also as Beijing goes into their central economic work conference, so where they really plot the path for the Chinese economy. And that really has lit a fire under anything resource related. We have our local resource index up just over 3.5% today, far outstripping the industrials and the financials. And really, in all those resource counters, the likes of Exxaro up almost 6%. You've got the gold miners like Harmony up almost 5%. Sibanye-Stillwater up almost 6%. And of course, a big diversified major like Glencore, also a commodity trader, up just under 4%. So really, the story today has been all about commodities. And of course, the South African Rand also very, very linked to commodity price movements. If you have a look at the correlation between our local currency and commodity prices, it's very, very high. So with commodities moving higher, the South African Rand doing very, very well.
Mm. And those commodities prices also seemingly looking like they could have a lot more in them. I mean, palladium up 4%, platinum 3%, silver almost 3% as well, even gold moving up. But that we know for these kinds of commodities moves, or even for the resources counters, this could very quickly turn into a runaway week if the right things are heard by investors, especially as we head into kind of that Santa rally, December rush, and markets looking for that last little bit of gain before going on the December break.
Yeah, absolutely. And resources are incredibly volatile. So the resource index, while it's up 3.5%, often you'll find that down 3%, down 2% tomorrow. So typically, if you compare it to the overall index, it is high beta. When the market moves up, you expect resources to move up more than the market. But when the market falls, you expect them to fall faster. So it does add a little bit of risk to the portfolio. But later this week, we get a couple of inflation numbers as well. So we obviously had those non-farm payrolls numbers on Friday, the big labor market numbers out of the U.S. seemed like Goldilocks numbers, if you ask me. The U.S. isn't really slowing down as much as everyone feared, but it's not so strong that we're not going to get rate cuts. So that coming in, but the big number is going to be the U.S. CPI number on Wednesday. And in an environment where you have looser monetary policy, but you still have inflation within the system, that generally is very, very good for commodity prices. We're also going to get our local CPI data out as well. So if you remember last month's print, very, very low at 2.8%, had a couple of statistical base effects in it as well. So we'll see if we can maintain that. But I think the inflation data also going to feed into this commodity story. And as you say, if the right data prints come through, quite possible we could see a little bit more from these resources.
Mm. Gary, I want to look at some of the other announcements. Obviously, you touched on the data points that are coming out this week and the importance of that. Let's perhaps look at what that means for next week, or potentially, I think it's next week, it would be the interest rate decision from the US following the data that is going to come out from an inflation perspective. We are expecting a rate cut. We are kind of forecasting, I'm guessing, around 25 basis points. Is there a likelihood we'll see anything more?
I don't think we'll see anything more than that. Already, I think the question at the moment is whether or not the Fed is going to pause at this final meeting of the year, or whether it's going to be the 25 basis point cut. And as I said, after those non-farm payrolls numbers, we did see the market settling a little bit. So if you look at the futures pricing, probability sitting at around an 85% chance we'll get a 25 basis point cut, so 0.25%, and the balance of that is that there will be no change. So you're still about to call it a 15% chance that there'll be no move in the meeting. So if you're betting on a rate cut, you're probably going to get it right. And I think it's going to be 25 basis points.
Gary, let's look at some of the announcements that came out today. We got a trading statement from Transaction Capital. What's happening?
Yeah, so interesting one from Transaction Capital. They actually delayed the release of their results today as well. They were meant to be, obviously coming out and showing us their full year results to September year end. And the market did not like that they were delayed. But I mean, obviously, Transaction Capital is an interesting company at the moment. So today it was marked down 5%. Never good news when you hear that the financial statements are delayed. But I also almost do feel a little bit sorry for the transactional capital accountants at this stage. So they said the results are ready, but just due to JSE regulation, they had to adjust their target ranges from a trading statement that they released on the 28th of November. And looking through those target ranges, they actually narrowed the target ranges a little bit, almost across the board. Now, they are going to make big losses. And of course, they're going to make big losses, even if you compare them to, even if you strip out all the discontinued items, because obviously WeBuyCars has been stripped out of the business. They've sold off a lot of non-core assets as well. Market not liking that they're going to be delayed, but I'm sure we will get those results now. But this is also a business that I suppose we won't be talking about it as Transaction Capital very soon. Obviously in the middle of a transition at the moment after the disaster that they had with the SA Taxi business and really refocusing the business through Natun, which is a business process outsourcing business, obviously going to rebrand, going to become a listed company as well and under that name. So very, very different business that we'll be talking about going forward. But market getting that trading statement out this morning and absolutely smashing the stock.
The end of an era for Transaction Capital. I never thought we'd see the day that would come, especially with the SA Taxi Holdings and the WeBuyCars and the way the business looked probably about 24 months ago. Gary, before I let you go, I want to take a look at something that I touched on a little earlier at the introduction of the show. South Korea impeaching their president in 2016. They tried it again last week after the president decided to declare martial law. The impeachment failed. They couldn't get that done. What's happening? Is martial law still in effect? All I know is the South Korean currency has absolutely taken the most volatile knocks as a result of these announcements. What's going on in South Korea?
Yeah, so if we have a look at the won, it's moved all the way out. It's not quite at the levels. It's almost getting to the levels it was during the 2008 global financial crisis. Talking about a weakness that is taking it back almost 15 years now, more than 15 years. So. Yeah, definitely, not looking good over there. And I think the big concern is that there's going to be a power vacuum. So the president has come out and kind of apologized for, declaring martial law, but he's also still in office, but he's also stepping back from his public duties. So there's the sense that no one really understands, who's running South Korea at this time. And I was reading a Goldman Sachs report on it, and they believe that it's going to be an orderly exit and that he will step down as president we've got the central bank in South Korea also, providing liquidity into the market. So markets are still functioning orderly, but the KOSPI down 2.78% this morning and down almost 20% from its highs, in early July. So the KOSPI being hit hard, hard recently, but it has been a fairly negative story. And I think, maybe institutional investors also pulling a little bit of money out, around the election time, Donald Trump coming in, a bit worried about what the trade patterns are going to look like, and also South Korea has real demographic issues. So their fertility rate's very, very low. You're talking about losing about a third of the population every generation, which is never going to be good for stocks. But if you look at the political situation and you go back a little bit in history, which I know you like to do on the show as well, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating to see how almost crazy the South Korean system is. If you go back through the history of presidents, it's you know, last president, he wasn't imprisoned or impeached, but before that, impeached, arrested for corruption, in prison for 24 years. The president before that, arrested for corruption, sentenced to 15 years in prison. Before that, impeached, then committed suicide. And you go back, and then it's a military coup, assassinated, overthrown. So this is not really it's not really that surprising in a nation like South Korea. If you look at the history, this is a way that power is the transition of power happens. So yeah, obviously retail investors have been selling heavily anything to do with South Korea, and I suppose the listeners will be familiar with the big names like LG, Samsung Electronics, Hyundai, Kia. These are the kind of big names that you can buy in South Korea, and definitely retail investors just fleeing. But if you look at the flows between retail and institutional investors have been far more, I suppose, prudent even after this announcement, really hanging in there and looking at the deep discount that some of these stocks trade at. And potentially, you know, for listeners, this could be an area of opportunity at the stage. You know, when you have political chaos, you quite often get serious bargains on good quality stock.
What's a little political chaos to round off the year? Thank you so much, Gary. We'll leave the conversation there. Always lovely catching up with you. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, on the market movements, what's been driving a bit of the sentiment, and the history of South Korea.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.